More Idaho Matters from the studios at Boise State Public Radio News. Wildlife managers across the West have been stocking high alpine lakes with fish for decades, mostly so anglers have something to catch. As the Mountain West News Bureau's Will Walke reports, new research is looking into how that history changed the Rocky Mountain environment and the genetics of the fish themselves.
It's just after sunrise at the Wind River Mountain Range in central Wyoming, and I'm quickly realizing summer's over.
There's frost on the tips of trees, lots of cars in the parking lot, and cold people.
My mission today, catch a trout deep in the wilderness. I hike about 8 miles in and reach a long, skinny blue lake above 10,000 feet. I passed maybe 5 people on the way.
Just put my rod together, and I'm gonna cast out a little bit. I'm gonna be trying a bunch of different flies today until one works.
It takes some trial and error, but finally I find a spot where I see fish. I cast out a yellow foam grasshopper.
All right, come on, baby.
Watch it float down a small current, and then...
Yes! He's got it.
I reel in an 8-inch cutthroat trout with a pronounced rainbow stripe, red around its throat, and brown spots.
That is a beautiful, beautiful fish.
It's this backcountry catch-and-release experience that got me hooked on the sport when I first moved to Wyoming, and one that enthralls a lot of Western anglers. That includes Jen Brown, a university professor who wrote a book on the history of fly fishing in the region.
We think of the West and fly fishing in the West as this very pristine activity, one that is out in the wilderness and untouched by humans, where people go find themselves out in nature. But those fisheries and those trout only exist through widespread manipulation of the environment.
She says most people aren't aware of how alpine lakes first got fish. Individuals, sporting clubs, and government officials stocked them starting in the 1800s. In the Winds, there weren't any native trout before humans got there.
Let's introduce fish. It's a nice, like, backcountry survival food. They're pretty easy to catch, and it brings sport.
At the start, people would carry milk cans full of fish on their backs or on horses. Today, video shows fish and game workers filling cans with minnows from a hatchery and dumping them out of vehicles, or in some cases, helicopters. States in our region stock tens of millions of fish into rivers and lakes this way every year. And that manipulation has created some interesting consequences.
If you look at them under the microscope, you see all kinds of little structures.
Katie Wagner is showing me jars full of fish at her lab at the University of Wyoming.
This is a little messy, so it's good as audio.
She was part of a research team that looked into how lakes in the Winds have changed since humans introduced fish there. It's an extreme environment where water is iced over for more than half of the year, so it's hard for species to survive.
And how is it that that's feeding back onto the fish themselves? How is that impacting their own resource and their survival in these environments?
What the team found was a case of rapid evolution in just a few decades. The changes are most obvious when looking at gill rakers. That's the trout's filter for small prey. The more they have, the easier it is to eat.
What we found is that in populations that were stocked 50 or 100 years ago, we have more gill rakers than in populations that were stocked recently or that we look at from the hatchery.
Wagner says this is significant because most people think evolution takes thousands or millions of years.
The idea of putting fish into these really extreme and novel environments and watching them change over the course of a human lifetime is an exciting finding.
Researchers say there's a hopeful angle too, that no matter how much humans change our environment, life will maybe be able to find a way to survive, even in extreme circumstances. And that's something anyone that visits the woods can appreciate. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Will Walke in Wyoming's Wind River Range.
Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
This is my voice. It can tell you a lot about me. and I'm not changing it for anyone. In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, you'll find a collection of NPR episodes centered on the Black experience. Search NPR Black Stories, Black Truths wherever you get podcasts.